All right, good morning, everybody. Let's see if this is on. There we go. So we're not in Ruth this morning. We're done with that. Oh, that's so sad. I know. What did you say, Tony? Start over. Yeah. Do it again. It's so good. Do it again. Oh, there you go. All right, so I do have a question then. I know when I ask this question, everybody says Revelation every time. So what would y'all like to go through in Sunday school going forward? Go ahead, Josh. Oh, man, it does. The question is, can we stand Ezekiel? It's so much. Galatians. It doesn't have to be a book. I mean, I'm... Subjects. Yeah, Yeah. Okay. You know, so we could finally learn something in this class. mean, these books are so old. Let's just learn something, you know. All right, so I got a few. I'll write some of these down here. Ezekiel, Romans, okay. Ask questions. Yeah, I like that too. I'm with you guys on that. I do. I really do like that. Just this table's a problem here. And look, I must have looked like Megan used to do this thing when you give her something to eat and she'd try it. You'd try this. Oh, try this. You might like it. And she'd try it and her face would just be like, oh. And then we'd ask the dumb question, is it good? Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, man. So is that what I look like when I said, yeah, I enjoy the question and answer. It's so good. Okay, how we're supposed to live? Yeah. There you go. Now Billy actually wants to learn something. Tell me all this crazy information about UFOs. No. Tell me how to live. Oh, man. All right. I've got some of these written down. Okay. Oh, I do like topical stuff. I'll say going through books of the Bible it's easier for folks to follow along because you know where you're going. It's easier to study, you know, you kind of know what you're studying, but, you know, I don't know if necessarily all that works out the way I think it would, but, anyhow, this morning is a topical one, prophecy, one of the things about prophecy in the Bible, John said it in Revelation. He said, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Peter said it this way, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. And the reason is because prophecy, it's around Jesus Christ. It's not about your life or my life. It's about Jesus Christ. He's the central figure in it. So Peter says no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Of course, it's not, because it's the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that being said, the way your Bible is organized is there's so many layers that are interesting to look into. Part of it's chronological, but overall, in the broad scope of things, it is a storyline of Jesus Christ and his ministry and how his ministry before he shows up in a body, his ministry as the shepherd overseeing the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and all those kinds of things. And so I want to look at really an overview of the Bible, and we're not going to look at 100 different verses, but there is an interesting way the Lord is portrayed all through the Bible, and it follows this chronology, and it's like the way a tree would grow. And this will become clear as we go through it, because this is the point. You start with this seed, and then the seed takes root, and then the root turns into a branch, and then the branches it grows other branches, and then those branches eventually bear fruit, and that's what was the point from the beginning, that the seed would bear fruit eventually. So that being said, your Bible is laid out that way, describing how it describes Jesus Christ. And so I want to show it to you, and we will turn to a few verses, but it's going to be sort of just as the Bible, as we go through the Bible here. But let's start here. Start in Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to follow the life of Jesus Christ as a farmer would watch a tree grow, essentially. It's kind of neat, some of the typologies and ways the Lord's described. Genesis chapter 3, and before we give you the verse, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. And I really do pray that you would help us learn about Jesus Christ and help us learn about your words and how you've organized them. And this is a neat little blueprint for how the Bible's set up. And so I pray that you'd help us, help the teachers in the back that are teaching, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister your words. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 3 is, you've got Adam and Eve have been created, and now there is temptation. I don't want to go off on this little side thing, but it's interesting. You got the devil in the garden, and he is a cherub that is around this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And when the Lord wants to protect the tree of life, he puts a couple more cherubs around another tree. And so I don't know if their job was to cover these trees. You heard about the cherub that covers, and I've always heard that means he's over God. Well, no one is over God. But I don't know if that means he covers these cherubs. Their job was to protect these things that God wanted protected. And so you find the devil around this tree, and he's not protecting it. Now he's enticing Adam and Eve to eat of it. And when they were told not to eat of it, and so they go ahead and eat. They eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now they have a knowledge of evil, where before they have a knowledge of good, but now they have a knowledge of evil to add to that. And now sin has entered the world. And here's what God says in regards to the curse that they've now brought upon themselves. Verse 11 says, "And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." All right, so seed in the beginning. You got seed. And I won't ask the normal Bible school question of who is the seed, but you know who this is going to be. But let's move ahead to Genesis chapter 12 and look at the seed again. Here's the seed in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6. You meet Abram here. It says, "And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the place of Morah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Over and over now after this, the Lord is going to talk about Abraham's seed. His seed. "I'm going to give the land to your seed. I'm going to give the land to your seed." And so within Abraham, apparently he carries the seed now. It's going to be his seed. And that's further explained, just for a little explanation of the seed. Let's go, I'm show you a couple things in the New Testament. Try to do this quickly. Galatians chapter 3, real quick. Galatians 3, verse 16. Galatians 3, 16. So here's the explanation of the seed that the Lord will continue to mention to Abraham. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is" who? Christ. Okay, there's just going back to Genesis here. That becomes the issue, is the seed based on race, or is the seed based on some spiritual qualities of Abraham? And the answer ultimately is both. He's going to come through Abraham, and so the seed has these some spiritual characteristics. And so that becomes, like in John, for instance, chapter 8, the Pharisees keep saying, you know, "We're Abraham's seed, we're Abraham's seed, we're Abraham's seed," as though their racial distinction made them right with God. And you know, and we know, it didn't make them right with God. The nation of Israel had certain blessings, but there were so many people in the nation of Israel who were lost that Paul would say, "I would wish myself accursed for my brother and my kinsmen in the flesh. There's so many of them lost." And so it becomes fleshed out and clear that, yes, there's a group of people that God would bless as a physical nation, but as far as eternal life, as far as forgiveness of sins, as far as these spiritual matters that are of eternal consequence, those things are provided through spiritual matters, through faith and things like that. And so, That being said, Abraham carries the seed. Okay, got that. So the seed, and you know from Galatians from Paul. Paul says the seed is Christ. So this is who Abraham's carrying. And as we've talked before, Abraham passes, the seed goes through Isaac, and then Jacob, and then you got the 12 tribes, and then the brothers are disqualified from oldest, as you know, from Reuben to Simeon to Levi, they get disqualified, and then Judah ends up carrying the seed, becomes the lion of the tribe of Judah. So, point is, in the beginning, just like a tree grows, you've got a seed here, okay? Now, from a seed, what's the next part of the thing that is grown on a plant as it grows? The root. Something has to take root. All right. So you would imagine as we go through this, the next thing you're going to hear described, Jesus Christ described it of, is a root. All right. So let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And this is an outline. This is, I hope you guys can add to it in your own studies, but this is an outline of a layout of the Bible here with Jesus Christ in view. You got the seed and then the seed taking root. Proverbs chapter 12. Oh, here's one. Verse 3. It says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. That's good. Look in verse 12. Another principle at work. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. All right. Well, that's a principle, but it's not necessarily naming Jesus Christ as a root, but it is hinting. And it definitely describes Jesus Christ. Look in Isaiah chapter 11 for a specific designation of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10. So you got the seed. The seed starts to form a root. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, here it is specifically, says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. All right, now you're specific. Now you know this is talking about the Messiah, and he is identified as a root now. He's the seed. The seed takes root. In fact, just a neat little thing earlier in Isaiah chapter 11, the whole process is described in verses 1 and 2. He says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. So that's almost the whole process there. But anyhow, back to this planting. You've got Jesus Christ as the seed. Then you move along in your Bible. Now there's this root of Jesse. And moving forward, anybody know what the next description, what happens next now? Branch. Yeah, something comes out of the ground now. Now it starts to come out of the ground. You've got a stem that comes out of the ground that forms the trunk of what will be a tree. All right, so a branch. Very good. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. I point some of these things out like this just because there's no other book that's written like this that I know of where there is these layers of meaning here. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. All right. Notice in verse 5, you've got the branch now. The seed took root and now becoming a branch. Here it is again in Jeremiah, look in chapter 33. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33:15. So the seed is planted, it takes root, then something shoots out of the ground like a stem that becomes a branch. Jeremiah 33, verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. So the branches, that's his name. That's how he's identified. In Zechariah, just to go a little bit, I won't show you all the references in Zechariah, but multiple times in Zechariah, he's going to be called the branch. The branch, the branch, the branch, the branch. And so, as you're going through the Bible, the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God is identifying Jesus Christ almost like the way a farmer or a gardener would identify his plants. I mean, I planted the seed, took root, now it's growing as a branch, will grow as a branch, and let's see, I'll show you one of them. Look in Zechariah chapter 3. That way you can learn where Zechariah is. Second to the last book in the Old Testament. I'll show you this one because Zechariah chapter 3. And verse 8. Says, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. For they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." The branch. And Zechariah calls him the branch a couple times in this book. But you see how this thing is progressing. Seed, root, branch. And then once the branch shoots out of the ground, becomes like a tree trunk, then it starts to, I don't know, what's the next step in the process? What'd you say, Nick? Blossoms, branches start coming out. And then what comes out of the branches? Fruit. Yeah, leaves and fruit. Fruit comes out of these branches. So that would be the very next thing that the Lord mentions in the New Testament is this. Look over in, oh, man, there's so many in the New Testament because that's what he really talks about. John 15. Look in John 15. This is a good one. John 15. And there's so many in this chapter. So the seed took root, shoots out of the ground as a stem and as a branch, and then it becomes like a tree trunk. And then from there, it bears more branches. And here's one of many, many things that Jesus Christ says about this. John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So now the tree is grown into this little stem, it's grown into this tree trunk, and it's borne branches. And the purpose of those branches that are growing out of this tree are what? To make fruit. That is the point. That is the point. Now, who is the one that is supposed to bring forth the fruit? The branches, the ones that are connected to the tree. Okay, let me show it to you again. Look in Galatians. Y'all know this one. Galatians chapter 5. So this is the story of Jesus Christ really as a tree here. Galatians chapter 5. Y'all know these. And you get to the New Testament, and it all becomes about, it's not about the seed or the root or the branch. It becomes about the fruit now. Now that we're to the fruit stage where things are supposed to be born out of this tree. All right, here's what Paul says. And the fruit comes from the Spirit of God. And here is what he says about it. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And this is what was supposed to be produced from the beginning. This is what the seed is going to produce in people. All right, you got the fruit here. One more time, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, here's more talk about this fruit. For the fruit of the Spirit, Ephesians 5, 9, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And I literally, I don't know, there's so many verses in the New Testament that deal with fruit. I mean, I'm just showing you a couple. But it shows the process of time and the process of how the Holy Spirit describes Jesus Christ and his work from beginning to fruit bearing. And interestingly enough, does anyone remember? So back in Genesis, the Lord defined fruit in a certain way. And he said, fruit is something that, I think it's Genesis 1:11. He says, The fruit is something that has seed in itself. It has seed in itself. So the seed now to bear more of this, to multiply the work of the Spirit of God is found in the fruit. Make sense? That's where it's found. It's found in the fruit. And so you got Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit and all that stuff. And so the fruit has the seed in itself. And that's kind of a cool thing. And so that is the operation and the description of Jesus Christ. And really, I realize we're like got a lot of time left, but that is an outline of how the Lord describes and observes and I guess just puts together the ministry of Jesus Christ almost like a farmer would. I plant a seed, there's a seed, that seed takes root, that seed grows into a tree, and then branches come off of that tree, and the purpose of those branches is to bear fruit. And the ones that bear fruit, I purge them, and that way they bear more fruit. And so the process is multiplied by the Spirit of God in the fruit bearing and the seed that's in the fruit. And so anyway, that is a way of looking at the whole Bible. I think of this, and I'll wrap it up with this, and I know we got a lot more time, but I'm gonna wrap it up with this anyway. When I read the Bible and prophecy, a lot of times what it seems like with the way the Lord describes things is prophecy is almost like the way a farmer would describe what his crop is going to look like to someone who doesn't know what his crop is going to look like. For instance, if you met a watermelon farmer and you've never seen a watermelon, and the farmer showed you a seed and he said, well, when I plant this seed and I water this seed, what's going to happen is after a few weeks, there's going to be this little green thing shoot up. And you're like, how does he know? What is that? I just see the seed. That's all I see. I don't see any green in this. He says, well, if in time, it'll grow up and there'll be a little seed and the leaves will look a certain way and it'll kind of vine out on the ground and all that stuff. And if you've never seen a watermelon, you're just like, how does he know what's in this seed? How does he know what he's talking about? And then he continues to describe and he says, well, and after a few weeks and a couple months, then these round fruits start to form. And it's, you know, green on the outside. It's got red in the center and, or orange or whatever the watermelon color is on the inside the meat is. And so he describes this fruit and you, if you've never seen this, you're listening to him talk and you're thinking, how in the world does he know all of this stuff is in this seed? And that's what I feel like sometimes reading the Bible. It's like the Lord says, look, here's the seed and here's what's going to happen and here's how it happens and it grows and it looks like this. And I'm listening to him describe the end product as though he knows what the end product is, and he does know what the end product is. But it's just like maybe a farmer would describe his crop. He's saying, look, this thing at a certain time looks like this. And then at a certain time, it looks like this. And then at a certain time, it looks like this. And then it bears fruit. And then you share the fruit and you can cut up, open the fruit, and on a hot day, watermelon tastes good and all that kind of stuff. But it is a description. It's almost like, I don't know, a very simple way of describing prophecy. It's the Lord sees this, all of this DNA and all of this design in this little thing. And if you can't see the end, what he's talking about just sounded so amazing. How does he know all of this stuff? And he's like, well, this is all trapped in the seed. This is all captured here. And as it's watered, it grows and it looks like this and it looks like this. And I read through the Bible and I'm thinking, that sounds like the way the Lord describes prophecy when he describes things that are happening or going to happen in either wickedness or goodness. And he says, well, look, at the end of this time, this is what this looks like. At the end of this time, this is what this looks like. Why? Because I know how this thing is, the blueprints are. I know the DNA and the structure of this thing. I know what it grows into. I know what it looks like. And so that all said, I don't know if that helps any, but it's a way sometimes I think about prophecy and reading through here. It's like the Lord is like this farmer, and he knows the end product of what's going to be created from the seed, depending on what seed's been planted. And he can describe how the growth process works and what it looks like at certain stages and things like that. But obviously the main focus of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And so you go all the way to Genesis, the seed, the root, the branch, and then the fruit. And then all of the New Testament keeps talking about the fruit and the fruit and the fruit and all those things. So that is one way of outlining your Bible. I hope it's helpful. It's something I thought was kind of interesting going through there. I kept reading about these descriptions at different stages, you know, reading about a root and reading about a branch. And it's like, why is he saying this now? Well, looks like there's an order to it. He's just following it like an order, like a farmer would follow the growth of his crop. So anyhow, that is one way of looking at your Bible. So I know we got a lot of time left, but y'all can. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to use that example. I should have. All right, well, let's pray, and y'all can do with that information what you can do with that information. So, Father, thank you so much for this. this time together. And I pray it's been helpful to learn something about our Bible and something about you and the way you communicate information about Jesus Christ. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together, for the teachers that provided their time to teach the kids, and then for Betty and all the preparations for breakfast she makes. Thank you for her. And for those that are out that are sick, I want to pray that you'd heal up their bodies. Them traveling, that you keep them safe while they're traveling. And again, thank you for your words. Thank you for eternal life in Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You're dismissed.